My name is Neil, and I'm one of the pastors here. Ash Wednesday is all about following the way of Jesus and life in his kingdom. Jesus said, while he was in Jerusalem, when he had ridden up on the donkey, crowds shouting, Hosanna, he spends that whole week in debate with the religious leaders. What is the truth? What is the true way to live? What is the road to power, to greatness, and to holiness? And in that week, Jesus says in John chapter 12, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Unless a grain of wheat falls and dies. Jesus walked out into the desert as he began his ministry, and he dies to the pole of comfort, of pleasure, of popularity. And then he walks into the temple and he reads these words from the prophet Isaiah recorded in Luke chapter 4. After he had died to all of these things, Jesus reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Unless a grain of wheat falls and dies. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, that Jesus left the Father's side and came to earth. Paul writes, though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Unless a grain of wheat falls and dies, Jesus says. And Jesus calls each of us into that same posture, into that same lifestyle of death, to die to all the things. Jesus calls us to die to your vices, to die to your addictions, to die to your temptations. He calls us to die to our distractions, die to our time wasters, die to our mind numbers. And this can be unsettling. Can I live without these things? But sins confine us. Sins bind us down. They drain us of life. If you know anyone in your life who has an addiction, you know what I'm talking about. Unless a grain of wheat falls and dies. In addition to our sins, Jesus calls us to open our hands that clutch tightly to things. To hold open our hopes. To hold open our longings. To hold open our goals and resist the desire to cling tight to them, but to hold them open. Hold open your vocational goals and your academic goals. And your athletic goals. Hold open your relationship goals and your faith goals and your personal goals. And this can be unsettling. Is God asking me to give up these goals, these good things that I've worked so hard for and longed for? And friends, it's not actually for us to know what God's going to call us to let go of, but it is for us to hold them open to say, God, not my goals, but yours be done. God, not my will, but your will be done. But here's the bad news. The bad news is we can't do it. We cannot die to our sins. We cannot surrender our goals. They're too deep in us. We are too attached to them. They have too strong of a hold on us. But unless a grain of wheat falls and dies, Jesus goes to the cross. Though he was God, Paul says, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Do you know why he was born as a human being? Because Jesus knows that difficult truth, that we human beings cannot do it. We cannot go the distance and let go and die to these things. And so Jesus comes, and Jesus dies to them. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, Paul says, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Unless a grain of wheat falls and dies, but if it dies, it will bear much fruit. This is the wonderful truth. God knows we cannot die to our sins, and so he comes as Jesus Christ to die to our sins for us. And then he comes as Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us to walk with Jesus, to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He helps us walk the path of Jesus to the cross, to die to our sins, to surrender our goals, so that we can receive the fullest life, much fruit, Jesus says. If it dies, it bears much fruit. Because dying to our sins and our temptations, it removes the rigid walls that bind us down around our hearts, and it frees us to bloom with the abundant life of the empty tomb. Because simply opening up our grasp around our goals frees us from grasping and striving and wrapping our life around our goals. It frees us to receive the greatest gift, the deepest love, the strongest purpose for our lives. We're like little kids, and we have something that we love, and we're holding on to it, and we're clinging to it. And God, the good parent, wants to give us so much more, and we can't receive it when we grasp. We can't receive it when we're running away in shame and guilt for our sins. And so Jesus comes to take care of that shame, to take care of that guilt. And the Holy Spirit says, open up your hands. Trust me. What I have for you is better. If it dies, it bears much fruit. Ash Wednesday embodies, it physically embodies our desire to live a life marked by Jesus' sacrifice and salvation on the cross and the empty tomb. The sign of the cross on our forehead proclaims that we can't do it, but Jesus can. May we be the first ones to say, that's right, I can't do it. I can't live, quote, the Christian life of being a good person. But I can live the Christian life of surrendering to Jesus and letting Him do it. Jesus Christ, bring me through death into new life so that I can take the sign of the cross and rejoice in it. The promise of new life that He brings to us in this life and in the next life. Ash Wednesday embodies our desire to live the abundance of the empty tomb. So, church, I ask you, what sins is the Holy Spirit bringing to mind to you tonight that Jesus has died for and that He is helping you to die for? And church, I ask you, what goals and dreams and plans is the Holy Spirit bringing to your mind tonight that He's asking you to hold open before Him? And maybe He's going to keep them and bless these goals and dreams and plans. Or maybe He's going to switch them with better ones. What are those goals that the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind to you tonight? Could it be that these deaths to sin and our act of holding open our goals become seeds that will bear much fruit? Amen.